and welcome to another live episode of the Butterfly Evolution Show. Tika and I are just so happy again that you are joining us tonight, and we just want to say thank you because football is not winning. We had one of the best shows we had since we started the show last week, and again, we know that it's football season, so with that being said, we are honored and just want to thank you again. Last week's show falls in the number two place thus far, so, and divorce was our highest show as it relates to those of you who are listening, the number of listeners that we had. So thank you again for tuning in tonight. We're just hoping for an awesome turnout, a fulfilling show, meaning that we touch some people. We have people that will come on and share what they've been through, how they're feeling, if they know someone. Of course, you know, you don't have to mention names here tonight, but we do welcome and hope that you do share what you've been through, if you've been through anything, or if you know someone. And again, be mindful of names just to, you know, to keep it tactful. Before getting started, what I'd like to do again is just kind of mention, if you're listening online and you want to make a comment or you have a question, in order to, and I'm going to go ahead and open up the chat line. I should do that now. In order to submit a question or comment to us by chat, you do have to be a follower of the show. And in order to be a follower, you have to register on the Blog Talk Radio website when you go onto the Butterfly Evolution site. You have to, it says follow. You have to select follow and register through one of the social entities. So for us, it's Facebook. That's in order to submit your question or comment by chat. But remember, you can listen by phone without making a comment. So just because you're calling in, it doesn't mean that we're going to bring you in to speak or, you know, have you on the show. The only time we will do that is if you select the number one. So if you're just calling in to listen using that number, please remember you don't have to select any number at all. You only have to just listen. Call the number and listen. And if you're listening online and you don't have that number handy, it is 818-691-7406. Okay? So if you've not registered as a follower and you don't want to do that right now, and you can, but if you don't want to do that right now and you plan on talking tonight, why don't you just go ahead and call in. And again, you know, select the number one if you do plan on speaking, and we'll see you out there. So just remember that. We will, when we do call you in, we will identify you two ways. We'll give your area code. For instance, if your area code is 901, we'll say, caller, we have you on air. We have a caller from 901. And we'll give you your last four digits of your number. So for those of you, if you're like me, you might want to write your number down, the 901 or your area code and your last four, because I'll be sitting there wondering if that is that me, because, you know, we don't call our own number. So keep that in mind as well. And again, if you do not have to share your name tonight, and please don't share the name of others that you are speaking about if you decide to do that. We want to start by just giving some important information out about tonight's show. We're talking about suicide, depression, and things like that. So before going into the show, we want to give you some numbers out because, you know, sometimes when you're talking about something that's such as this, we may lose some people along the way. You know, sometimes you say things and we get people to thinking and they may just kind of disconnect for a minute. So we want to give you the National Suicide Hotline number. I'm going to give you two numbers, and Tika may have some different ones as well, so we just wanted to share all of that information with you, and Tika's going to give them out as we go through the show again, and we'll give them out at the end of the show as well. But the National Suicide Hotline number is 800-784-2433 or 1-800-SUICIDE, and I'm going to give that again, 1-800-784-2433, and then there's a number, a talk number, and it's 1-800-273-8255 or 1-800-273-TALK. Okay? One more time, 800-273-8255 or 1-800-273-TALK. In addition, there is some national groups for suicide, And they have several. So it depends on, you know, if you are grieving from losing someone, a loved one or a friend to suicide, they have all types of groups that meet for things like this, veteran groups. So we challenge you to go out and learn more about it. They have National Week where they, you know, kind of talk more, have a week of suicide intervention and things like that. They have Suicide Month. And there is a website called Suicide Prevention Lifeline. That's www.suicidepreventionlifeline.org. There is a bundle of information on that one website. So you could use that as a general site to go to and receive just a bundle of information for whatever it is, whatever your situation may be or someone else's situation may be. Okay? So we'll go ahead and get started with the show. We want to go back to, we mentioned about last week's show, Erica Murray was on with us, and as I mentioned, that show turned out to be the number two show for since we got started with the Butterfly Evolution show. And if you did not listen, we really, really suggest that you go back and tune into this show. Tika and I are not affiliated with Erica Murray, but the book was wonderful. The show was wonderful. So if you've not listened to the show, have not been out to order Erica's book, again, Butterfly Evolution receives nothing from the sale of the book. So we're not pushing her for any monetary reason. We're pushing her for your growth so that you can become CEO of you. And if you want to change CEO, find a better word that fits your lifestyle, then so be it. But it is time. All of that ties into what we're going to talk about tonight, I believe. Even the shows that we did previously, we talked about fear, your emotions, toxic relationships, divorce. You know, divorce is a reason that was listed as a cause of why some people commit suicide, fear, and things like that. So a lot of the things that we've talked about ties into where we are tonight. And that has been our prayer all along, is to create a chain of conversations that help you grow, that help you eliminate those things that are keeping you from living to die. So many of us are dying to live because we're holding things in. So just be mindful and remember that you can go back and listen to any show that we've aired by way of the blogtalkradio.com/butterfly evolution. Okay, so that, and you can reach us on Facebook as well if you need any information, and you can send us an email through that site, the Blog Talk Radio site as well. So if you want anything that we talk about, if you didn't get it, just send us an email or contact us on Facebook, and we'll be glad to assist you with any information. Okay, and Erica's book is out on CEOtothepowerofyou.com. You can purchase her book on her personal website. She will send you an autographed copy, and you can also purchase it on Amazon, but it will not be a signed copy if you purchase it on the Amazon website, okay? Tika, you want to, before we go into the show, you have some more to give?
Well, I actually just want to give two phone numbers and two websites of resources, one being the Covenant House 9 line, and that phone number is 1-800-999-9999. That's an easy number to remember. It's called the Covenant House 9 line. And then the second phone number is through the United Way. It's called the Teach Crisis Center, TEACH Crisis Center. And that number is 1-800-367-7287. Two websites I'd like to give is the American Association of Suicidology. And that site is www.suicidology.org. And that, like again, the American Association of Suicidology. And the second one I like to give is the American Federation for Suicide Prevention. And that website is www.afsp.org. Again, www.af is in Frank, sp is in Paul, .org.
Okay, great. And we'll give those out again. Tika had some different ones, and so we'll be sure to give those out throughout the show and, again, at the end of the show. And for those of you who know more information about this, some other things that people can use to get through this or send someone to, please tune in. Select the number one so that we can bring you in and you share those things, because we cannot give enough information on this subject and this topic, especially where we are today in the world. People are without jobs. People are homeless. People are hungry. People don't know where their next anything is coming from. So it is time for us to pull together, take the mask off, and help one another. Share what's going on in your life. Share what has happened to you and how you got through it. Again, so at any time, you may select the number one, and we will just bring you in because we'll have enough time to share what we have here. So if you have something, go ahead and select the number one, and we'll know that you're out there and plan to bring you in just as quickly as possible. Another thing that I forgot to mention last week, we mentioned that we were going to give away one of Erica's books. We were going to have a drawing. Well, we only had two callers. I don't know how ironic that is, because it was one of the top shows, but people were very quiet, and that's okay, because I think that meant that they were really listening and really tuned in to what was being said. So what we will do tonight, and we had one of the callers, although we had two, one of them just, you know, says he's okay. He does not have to get a book from us. So we just have one caller from last week that we will include in this week's drawing. So if you do come in and you share some things with us, we're going to be sure that we take your number and add your name to the list. And we're going to give three books away. So we'll have three winners, and we will announce those winners during next week's show. Okay? So keep that in mind. So we'll go ahead and get started, because we don't want to lose any more time. And what I like to do, for those of you who've been listening, I like to just give you definitions of words. And I know it may sound a little elementary again to give you the definition of suicide, but I think it's good to hear a definition of words, because it makes you think about what is it really saying. So suicide is defined simple as the act of, it says, an organism intentionally causing its own death. Now, I changed organism and replaced it with person. So the act of a person intentionally causing its own death. I want to tell you, and some of you may know, but more than 1 million people die by suicide every year. And that's just for the states. More than 1 million people. That is a lot of people, okay? And suicide has become the leading cause of death among teenagers and adults, and that's under the age of 35. It has become the leading cause of death. And suicide, from what I remember, it just didn't seem like there was a lot of it, because I think a lot of times we don't hear about suicide unless it's really, you know, something bizarre about it. I know that last month there was a teenager in New York, I believe, that committed suicide because of bullying. We've had a lot of that going on. Totally, I mean, another topic, another day, but that 14-year-old kid did commit suicide because he was being bullied. So we are hearing about it more, but not nearly as much as it is happening. And I don't know why, considering that there's more than 1 million people per year that are taking their lives. So I remember in high school, and I graduated in 1986, we had probably the first case that I remember hearing of or knowing about, a young fellow committed suicide. And from what we were told, it was because of some information that he received that just kind of took him out, just kind of made him zone out, so to speak. And I remember at that age, you know, you didn't hear about it a lot, so it was very uncommon. It was just kind of strange to let it soak in. It was a strange feeling. It left me feeling like I wanted to know more. I wanted to know, was it possible that I missed something? You know, he and I weren't just super close, but we had just he was ROTC king and I was ROTC queen, so we just walked the court, you know, together not so long before that. So it left me thinking, did I miss something? Was it something I should have heard? And that's a bad feeling to have to deal with. So we need to start listening too as well. Not saying that I missed something, but I possibly could have. But I remember, and that was in 1986. Fast forwarding it to 2011, like I said, now it's the leading cause of death for teenagers and adults under the age of 35. It is the third leading cause of death among African Americans age 15 to 24. okay, years of age. And I say this with not trying to minimize suicide in any way as it relates to race or age, but suicide, in my day and time, suicide was considered to be of the white race, so to speak. I can remember hearing about suicide or just, you know, hearing people talk about suicide or someone committed suicide, and it was just automatic that we always thought that it would be of the white race. And that has changed. It's a part of everyone's life now. So it's not discriminative in any age, race, or anything, okay? So everyone can be accessible to it. You know, children, your spouses, your cousins, anyone. So keep that in mind as you go about your day-to-day process and you come about people and you hear them and you see them in pain. Keep that in mind, okay? I remember also when we would hear about suicide, you know, well, now it seems like more so than then, you know, we'd ask questions how old the person is, and sometimes you just assume that it's not a young person because young people are considered to be full of life. But again, we're losing them more so that way than car accidents and so forth. So it is our problem, and we should be talking about it. Okay, so that was the definition of suicide. Tika, do you have anything on suicide? I have a little bit more on the depression side of it. You want to talk more about the suicide before we go into the depression part?
I did. I found this through courtesy of PBS.org and this through Teens because it's a silent epidemic. And in the last 30 years, the suicide rate among teenagers has tripled. And the survey indicates that 60% of high school students think about killing themselves, and that every 2 hours a young person succeeds in taking his or her own life. And so there's risk factors that we need to be made aware of, because teenagers, they tend to be between that borderline. They're too old to be babies, but they're too young to be full adults, and so they're already dealing with a whole lot of issues because they're in that in-between stage of their lives, and they tend to experience strong feelings of stress, confusion, self-doubt. They deal with a lot of pressure to succeed by their peers or by their parents or, you know, by their family, outsiders. They have financial uncertainties, and you will wonder, well, how can a child have financial uncertainties? It depends on if their family is going through some financial uncertainties, that teenager will take that on, because a lot of times young people always feel like the bulk of the family's problem, or that there's something that they can do to fix the family problem, or there's something that they have done to cause the family problem. So they tend to take that on and take ownership for something that's not really theirs or something that they've caused or their responsibility. And they have other fears in growing up. And so with suicide, there's no typical suicide victim as well, even though it's the third highest in young people and in blacks. It has no bearing on young, old, rich, or poor. There's a lot of different signs you need to be able to look for. But like through teens, divorce is some of the things that creates that anxiety and that anxious feeling of, this is something that's going to tear me apart. This is something that's never going to change. With the family, a lot of the blended families, that's a lot for the young people to deal with the blended stepmothers and step-siblings. Moving to new communities, that can be very unsettling, and it intensifies their self-doubt. And so with them not being aware of what is getting ready to take place, they never can predict the outcome. And so they tend to internalize a lot of this. And a lot of people just think it's a troubled teen or a troubled youth or someone that looks troubled, but there's not always an outside appearance that shows you that something is wrong, because this will be a straight-A student or athletic student or a student that is in a lot of social clubs through the school, that they seem and they appear, you know, to be doing very well in school, but they have a whole lot of unsettling issues going on the inside, and they don't have an outlet of who they can reach out and talk to or feel safe enough in trusting anyone to tell them, I'm having suicidal thoughts. Because for so many people, it's seen and it's treated as if it's taboo, but it's so real. It is so real.
Right. And Tika, you're so right on the kids just being pushed I think beyond, they're so busy doing this and that and that and this. And I'm all for keeping your children busy. I support that. But sometimes, you know, we need to tap into what is their passion and their help them understand what their passion and their purpose is, because sometimes we're running kids because it's what we wished we had done or what we wanted to do or what we didn't get to do. And they go to school for 8 hours, and they come and they have to go here and go do that, and they're tired, and you want them to make straight A's and do all this and do all that. And that's fine. But sometimes, you know, just a sit down at the table and eat dinner together can do much more than you running around day in and day out. Again, not being unsupportive in things that keep the children busy, but again, you can keep a child busy, but what your child really needs is your attention. Some one-on-one, good old-fashioned attention. Sit down and eat a dinner together and talk. When you're in the car, turn the radio off and talk. Turn the TV off some. Erica mentioned, I think, last week about not having cable. You know, turn some things off and get to know your child. Allow your child to get to know you so that when he or she is going through it, that they feel comfortable talking to you. But if you've gone the whole week without talking to your child because you're so busy and he or she is so busy, they may not feel like they can come and talk to you. So you're right. I think a lot of kids, you hear stories about kids being in college, having to study something that they don't want to do, that they do not want to spend the rest of their lives doing, but because mom and dad say, no, this is the prestige thing to do, and they're miserable, absolutely miserable. So you are so correct in that. So we're going to share some of the depression. That's the suicide part of it. And depression, of course, is one of those things that typically could possibly come before suicide. And depression is explained or described, the definition says that it can be described as feeling sad, blue, unhappy, and miserable, or down in the dumps. Now, I heard that and I thought, wow, that describes me today. I'm just for whatever, had an off day today. And I think it's normal to say that we all do from time to time, and it's normal to have those feelings. Things happen, we get tired, we just need a break, so to speak. And so ask yourself, I want you to just ask yourself, and we'll come back to this, but do you think that's normal to have those down days, so to speak? And if so, we're going to talk a little bit more about it, but if you're saying yes, I want you to kind of think about when does it stop being normal? You know, if you have one today, if you have one of those down days and then another one tomorrow, you know, when do you draw the fine line? Okay, so we're going to label that as your normal day-to-day depression, so to speak, or your down day. And then we have the clinical depression, which is basically kind of a mood disorder, your mood swings, and so to speak, and it leaves you down a lot longer. Your sadness is much deeper, frustration, anger sometimes, just much deeper than just your normal day-to-day. Your sadness and your blueness kind of lingers on far too long, okay? So just kind of think about that, because I'd like to come back to that and touch more on that. And I'm going to check the line here to see. We do have a caller out, but I want to go ahead and get this out first, and I hope that's okay, but so we do have someone in queue. But I want to share a story with you guys, and again, I hope that this motivates some of you to talk and share, you know, again, what has happened in your life, if you've ever felt blue, if you've ever had thoughts of suicide, if you did, what brought you through. But I want to share a story with you. And I was going to share this story and then tell you at the end that this was me, but I'm just going to go ahead and share it with you and tell you that this was Tammy. And I say that because I think that for the most part, people see me. I remember Erica explaining herself about asking a gentleman how would he describe her, and he said as water, and he explained because he felt as if whatever came her way, it just rolled off like water, that she dealt with it and it just rolled off like water. And I really think at some point in time, I don't know about now because I've opened up more, I think, in the last few years than I ever have, but there was a time in my life where I was this closed book and everybody thought they knew Tammy, that she was this happy, lucky-go, fix-it person, fixes everything for everybody. Call her. She'll do anything for anybody at any time. And it was true. But I was living, we've talked about people of the lie, and I talked and shared with you that I tried to fake it as best as I could for Brandon. Having Brandon was probably the turning point in my life. And that's why, you know, you can, and I had Brandon as a single mom. You know, you never know. You never know. God can really take lemons, like they say, and make lemonade. We may turn right when he said turn left, but I tell you, he can pull you through. And so if you're out there and you're down and out, I'm telling you, it can be changed. But I want to share this story with you. And Brandon was first grade, and we were living in North Carolina, and things were just had gotten to the point. I had bought so much from childhood. I had bought so much. I just kept so much in. The loss of my grandmother, moving to Tennessee, just things that people think children should have to be okay with. So just a lot of things. A lot of things were going on, not just that, but some other things as well. And I remember this day so well. I just felt like, you know, this can't be it. If this is it, I don't want it anymore. I don't want to be a part of this world anymore. I don't care to be here. And I literally, I was at my lowest point ever, ever. And I remember this day going into the room contemplating, how can I do this? How can I make this end? If this is it again, I don't want it. And I sat sobbing ferociously. And as I sat, my door was closed, and it was just Brandon and I at home. And I was totally mentally gone. I was mentally already gone. It was just how was the point. And I saw this little finger and this little white piece of paper that was so nicely folded appear under my bedroom door. And so, of course, I walked over to get it. And I unfolded the letter, and it said, "Mom, I love you." And it had a heart with a little bow and arrow drawn through it. So Brandon, who I thought I was faking it with, who had no clue that I was in the room crying, I wasn't sobbing loud, you know, loud where he could hear me, so I thought he was in the other room watching TV. And so that was God. That was God. Here is this young man who I had out of wedlock, 7 years prior, who had watched me, so I said, faking it, so to speak, who practically, I say today, saved my life. Because I saw then, I have, regardless of where I think I am in my life, I have a responsibility to the people that love me and the people that I love. So I had to take myself out of my own sorrows, my own bad situations. And some of them was decisions I'd made that I felt, boy, I just really messed some things up. And one of them was I thought, you know, I should be able to give Brandon a better life. You know, it's like I'm failing at motherhood, and I don't think he saw it that way. But again, I'm saying this because sometimes people, we look at people and we think, we see the smiles, and they were seeing the smiles because that's what I wanted them to see. But we have to look beneath the smiles because I do believe people tell us. I believe someone should have caught on to that. But again, I faked it really well. So, but thank God, God allowed Brandon to slip that note under the door. And I never, ever forgot that. Still have that piece of paper. I never, ever forgot that. So, you know, and I called Brandon last night because I was uneasy about sharing this because once, you know, his life is a part of my life. He has friends that listen to the show. And he, before I could get it out, he said, "Sure, Mom, you can share it." And he said that there's strength in humility. And when he said that, I thought, I got to write this down. I have to share that. And it is. It really is strength in humility. And for those of you, again, I'm on the definition act of it. But when we can share things that God has allowed us to go through, and then we use it, grow through what you go through, you know, that brings glory to God. You know, there was no way that Brandon could have known where I was in my life right then, because when I tell you I faked it really well. So if you're out there again and you're feeling this way, or you feel like life is just to a point where you cannot fix it, you cannot correct it, you're too old, you're too far gone, change is on the other side. You have to be willing to change. You have to be willing to work for the change. So I challenge you. And again, if Tika and I can be of assistance to anyone, and I think Tika's going to share some things about her life as well, and it's funny we're sitting, not funny, but ironic, and it's a God thing that we're sitting here talking about this at this time. So we do have a caller, and I'm going to bring him in. We have Brandon on the air with us. Brandon?
Hello?
Hi. You're on air with us.
Hey.
How are you?
How you doing? I'm doing good. How are you?
We're good.
I guess I want to say, Mom, I appreciate you sharing that story. And just to go into more, I guess, of what my mother wrote down, that there's strength in humility. There was a something that I wrote to a friend of mine. And what I said was, you know, there are many streams, but they lead to one sea. You know, there are many stems, but they lead to one tree. And both the sea and the tree are lower than the streams and the stems that they lead. You know, without the tree and without the sea, the stems nor the streams would be. And so what that is saying that there's strength and humility because of the sea's lower position to the rivers and the streams. You know, it's lower than it, but it's greater than all of them. Surely if you cut off the sea, there would be none of these rivers. You know, if you cut off one of these rivers, there's still going to be a sea. So being humble and being lower in your ego will give you strength, not only in what you can learn from the things that you know, the mistakes that you make, as to not make those same mistakes again and admit that you're wrong, but also to humble yourself in a situation where you can see that your example or something that you went through can actually help somebody else. So not being afraid to share that. And that's why when my mother called me and she said, Brandon, I have something to ask you. And I said, sure, Mom, you can tell the story on the air. You know, before she even could get it out, because, you know, thank God we have that kind of connection. So, and it's only through her humility that we have that kind of connection. Because for a while, myself, you know, I was very arrogant with a lot of the things that I did. And with that being said, I kept a lot of things in. But my mother begged of me, you know, that I could talk to her. You know, I could call her Tammy sometimes. And, you know, I didn't have to call her Mom when I called her. I was like, I need a friend right now. You know, I don't need my mom. I need a friend. And sometimes I'll call and I need my mom. You know, and even if I spoke to her as a friend, she was like, okay, well, I have to tell your mother, and she's going to call you back. And we did it like that. But that's something that I appreciate. So if you ever think something's wrong in your life, you're just focusing on the wrong part. I'm not saying that you should not attend to it, but the blessings that you have are innumerable. It's something that you can never count. If you count it from the day you were born to the day that you die, you wouldn't get a fraction of the blessings you had. So, and just to be able to wake up the next day and go make somebody else smile, if that's all that your purpose in life is to go around making somebody smile, and you're never famous, you're never rich, then that's a life well lived. So don't give up. And that's all I got to say.
And Brandon, thank you. Thank you for calling and sharing that. And what you brought up, I challenge parents, if this is something you can do with your children, tell them that they can always come to you. And Brandon's right. I tell him if I don't care what it is, if you just need to call and talk to Tammy, then say that. And I'm going to be Tammy as if I'm talking to someone else's child. But, again, there's times I told him, okay, now I'm telling your mom, and your mom will be calling you back later to deal with it from a different aspect. But, Brandon, you mentioned arrogance, and I wanted to give the definition of humility. It's basically humbleness, modesty, and meekness. The antonym of humility is arrogance. So, you know, when I read that, you don't think about things that you keep in and why you keep them in. It's because something, you're wanting something, the self-gratification for you, you're wanting to look. I think, Tika, was that self-esteem that we were talking about where it help me, Tika, where you'll do anything to appear, I guess, great, so to speak. Is that self-esteem we were talking about a couple of weeks ago?
Well, that's not self-esteem.
Well, I mean, when you do what you're going to do, whatever it takes to make you look good, basically. By you not sharing some things that you're going through, you don't want that people to see that side of you. You want to look all together, so to speak. I don't know.
I can't remember what we were talking. It was in that category of self-esteem, but I can't
people
remember.
People of the lie, maybe. I think it was.
People of the lie, right.
So maybe it was that, but
living a facade. Mm-hmm.
Right. And again, I was. So people were thinking exactly what I wanted them to think, is that I was okay. I was okay with my life as it was, but I wasn't. And a lot of people, whether they will admit it or not, are not okay with where they are in their life. So we talked about the normal day-to-day depression versus the clinical depression. You know, the normal day-to-day depression are those things that caused depression in my life. They were things that I overlooked, that I looked at as kind of normal for this area in my life, for this time in my life. It's normal. But you have to deal with the normal day-to-day depression as well. Don't overlook those things that take you there. We're not talking about the small stuff. I just simply had a bad day today from my network not working to my everything that could happen. My papers flying everywhere. I burnt my brownies today. Everything that could happen today happened, but it's okay. Those things, but those things are just kind of normal. But those deep-seated things that make you click, you know, click on something that you wouldn't because you're holding in something that is related to that. Those are the things that are not day-to-day and normal. Those are things that you have to deal with so they don't lead to that clinical. And same thing with kids. Tika mentioned how we put so much on our kids. Talk to your kids and see what's going on. See what they like doing versus what they don't like doing. Make sure that they're not doing those things because you want them to. And that's what you wish you had a chance to do in your life. We have another caller. Tika, you got anything before I bring the other caller in? Brandon, we want to thank you for sharing that, as always. Thank you for listening, and thank you for sharing.
Thank
okay?
you.
I'm going to put
I
you
love
back.
Y'all. Thank you.
Thank you. We love you.
Go ahead and bring in this next caller because
okay.
I wanted to talk some on depression and then share part of my story, too,
okay.
But we can see what this other caller has to bring to the show.
Okay, we have 678-9759. The caller, do you want to share? Tell who you are?
Yes. Can
okay.
you hear me?
We can hear you fine.
Hey, Tammy. Hey, Tika.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi, this is Tasha, and I don't mind giving my name because God has truly been wonderful to me. But you guys are talking about depression, and I wanted to share a story, and I'm not going to take up too much of your time. But about 2 years ago, 2009, I became very depressed, and I remember my pastor saying, if you're sitting in a dark room, you need to get out of that room. That means that you're in a depressed state. So it's time to open up some windows, open up doors, let light shine in, because it's not the end. But I did not hear that at all. I was coming up, I wasn't, we had things, but we didn't have everything. And I remember, you know, my grandmother saying, you know, Tasha, as you get older, you always want to have good credit. Good credit's going to take you a long way. And I tell you, I lived, that got me through school, that got me through being an adult, having good credit, being able to take care of myself, not asking nobody for anything, not God, not cherishing God and let God be the first priority. But I was working, moved to Atlanta, went to school, bought a home, working for my credit this, credit that. And my credit was the best anybody, I mean, just best credit you could possibly have. No God, nowhere. When worrying about God, then think about God. But, oh, boy, did God show me something. I started doing things for friends and family and people saying, I'm going to pay you back, and it never happened. And those bills started adding up, adding up. Credit cards started adding up, and I just could not handle it anymore. Trying to help out a family member, my bills in my house got taken just to the max. So I was depressed. I'm trying to take care of household, take care of credit cards, and so I became depressed. I started going to church in 08 before the depression started. I started going to church. And then it's like in 09, God started working on me. It's like, you don't think I'm real? Let me show you who's real. You think that credit is what's getting you up every morning, that's taking you through every morning? I'm going to show you who's taking you through. And I remember, and I've shared this story with you, Tammy, and I remember being at my lowest. I said, God, I am so tired. I said, I come home. I work faithfully. I pay my rent on time. I'm trying to pay all these bills. And I keep, it's like I get money, then the money is gone. I get this, then the money is gone. I work here. I pay this, the money's gone. My car's acting up. I don't have money for that. It's just like it's like if you fix something, then boom, here goes something else. You fix this, then boom, there goes something else. Well, I just gave up. I remember saying, you know what? I'm tired. I can't do this no more. I don't want to be here no more. I can't live like this. And I remember going into the kitchen, and I remember plotting, saying, you know what? I'm going to go to church on Sunday, but when I get back, I'm killing myself. I went to the kitchen. I got a knife, and I scraped my arm, my little wrist with the knife. I said, you know what? This ain't nothing. I could do this. This is nothing. So I went to church, and I remember my little angel. I'll never forget her, Barbara, and I'm going to share that name. She's my angel, Barbara. I went to church, and she came to me, and she said, Tasha, what's going on? I said, nothing. And she said, yeah, it's something wrong, and God is telling me to talk to you. And I said, oh, God, are you serious? This going to stop me? So Baba began to say, I want to go to lunch after church. You know, I am on praise and worship team, and we were getting ready to sing. And I said, you know what, this is not going to stop me. And I went up there to sing, and I just could not sing. I had so much evil in me. And so how can I worship? How can I worship and praise you when I'm mad at you? You're letting me go through all this for what? You know, you said if we trust in you and have faith, but I didn't have faith at all. And I remember when church was over, we went to lunch, and Barbara talked to me, and I began to cry. And Barbara's like, why are you crying? I said, you know, nothing. I said, I'm just going through a lot right now. But Barbara and I talked. I got in my car. She left. Little did she know I was coming home to kill myself. I opened the door. I went to the kitchen. I got that knife. And I tell you, I came back in this room, and I said, Lord, if you are real, please show yourself to me, because I don't have any more to give. I am out. I'm tired. So please show yourself to me, because I'm going to take this life. And I tell you, something lift me off this bed as I sit on tonight and said, you know, I am real. Here I am. If you have faith in me and you trust in me, there is nothing I won't do for you. But you got to have faith in me, and I am first priority. Not your bills, not your mother, not your family, but I am first priority. And I tell you right then and there, God has been ahead of my life. So whoever is going through depression, I tell you to let go and let God, because he is real as I sit here today. Because if it wasn't for that man up there in those heavens, I wouldn't be able to tell you. And I get emotional because to be able to be, to feel like something is just lifting you up when you don't have any more to give, it's a powerful thing. And I know he's real. That's why I serve him faithfully. I pay my tithes. I don't care if I don't have anything else. Paying my tithes and trusting in God, there's nothing like him. So that's what I want to share. I'm not going to take up any more of your time. God bless you, Tammy and Tika, for this avenue that you're giving not only women but men and just everybody. Continue to do what you're doing. God bless, and I love you. Bye.
Thank you so much for sharing.
You're welcome.
Okay. The lines are open. Tika, you can t- just take over the line. And if someone comes in, I'll just share with you that we have someone in queue. But I know you had some more to say on depression and what you've gone through. So, again, thank you guys, because it does take a lot to come on and share things like that. But I am believing that there is someone, whether they come on or not, this show, we were not intending to do this show, and a couple of weeks ago, God, in the middle of the night, just put it on my heart. I didn't even talk to Tika about it before posting it out there. I just truly believe that was God, and that there is someone out there tonight that is listening, no matter how you're listening, that is not in their right mind, so to speak, and I just truly feel that in my heart. And if that is the case, please, please, please hear us tonight, because it is something that you cannot undo. Talk to someone. Share what you're feeling. And then when people try to talk, you know, people, we need to listen. Have time for people. Turn the TV off. If you have time to listen, to look at the shows that we've talked about, you have time to sit down with your children, with your friends, with your loved ones, and talk if they are really wanting that help, okay? So I just wanted to get that out there. Tika, we don't have anybody left in queue, but again, people, the lines are open, so feel free to select the number one. You have to select the number one, and remember the chat line is open as well.
Okay. I'd like to just kind of be transparent of my battles with depression and suicide. I found with looking up that millions of Americans tend to suffer from this condition, and known to the world of mental illness, it is sometimes called the common cold, depression is. Experts tend to believe that some of our body chemistry causes one to be prone more than others to stressful situations that trigger depression. And when I read this, I learned that this was me to a T, because though it varies from person to person, a major thing that can trigger depression is it often grows out of the occurrences as the loss of a loved one. And with my battles of depression, when I was younger, I had a lot of self-esteem issues. I had a lot of self-esteem issues with some of the things I wanted to do when I was younger, just wanting to model and just really, it was just a desire I had at a young child. So I tried and tried and tried. I tried to the best of my ability. I didn't try to where I didn't give up, but I thought that I had at the time. And so I battled with self-esteem issues, you know, even from the time of being a young teenager. By the time that we moved to Tennessee, we left California and moved to Tennessee, I remember just leaving my clientele of hairstylists, leaving my family, leaving my friends. But I had in mind that we were coming. My husband at the time was coming. We were going to Tennessee for me to be that stay-at-home mom, be that full-time stay-at-home mom, as well as get back in school and be that full-time student. And so I had certain things planned. I had a plan for myself and what I wanted for my family and what would be best. What I didn't realize that would be the trigger that would send me spiraling out of control was that about 4 weeks after moving to Tennessee, my grandmother died. And my grandmother was the family angel, the family rock, the family everything. This was the most beautiful person I ever met in my entire life. She's never closed the door on anyone who was without a home. She never closed the door on anyone who was hungry. She never closed the door on anyone who was thirsty. She always saw them as that may be Jesus. And so this was the most beautiful person, like I said, I ever met. When my grandmother died, I thought that I was going to be okay because she had been sick, and my aunt told me to come to Florida and visit Mama because we don't know how much longer Mama's going to be here. So I went there to visit her, and at the time I had a 4-year-old and a 7-month-old. And I remember just being there and thinking, okay, I'm going to be okay. I'm going to handle this. But when I left Florida, I was there in Florida for several weeks. When I left Florida and I had to come back to Memphis, and in Memphis, my mother wasn't in Memphis. My sisters, my brothers, my aunties, cousins, my family wasn't in Memphis. My husband wasn't, his family, but I didn't have my comforting support group. And I didn't have the support from my husband at the time that I expected. And so being that I had gone through all these major changes, just a complete major move, leaving California to Tennessee and then not being surrounded by my family. My income was completely, I went from making a very, very good salary to making zero income. I wasn't working. I had two young children, and this just sent me completely out of control. So I began crying a lot because it tells you of different things that you can expect if you're noticing someone slipping into a state of depression. But this just kind of took me over the edge. I saw this as being I'm really beginning to feel like the ultimate failure. I'm really just feeling like this is horrible. I have nobody, I have no family. And so I went into a deep state of depression. I began seeking clinical help. I began going to counselors. I was on antidepressants. As a matter of fact, I was told that my depression was so deep, I was put on Prozac, and then I was put on Wellbutrin, and then Lexapro, and then Seroquel, and then I was just, everything would just constantly increase. My dosages would get higher. Then I was placed on two forms of antidepressants. And I hated being on antidepressants so because I associated with a person, you know, being insane, and I always considered myself sane, that I would abruptly take myself off, not realizing that when you don't wean yourself off and abruptly take yourself off, you will trigger feelings of suicidal, or your depression increases almost to the 10th power. I had spiraled out of control so much that by 2002, I made an attempt to take my life. The craziest part was that I called my husband because he wasn't home. I called him to tell him he needed to get home. I wanted him to come home because the sad part is I didn't want my children to wake up and find me. And this is something that I can share about. Please forgive me if I get emotional because I do feel strong enough to share it because I want to help someone. But I called him to come home and get me. So by the time he got home, I had passed out. And I remember him trying to wake me up, and he didn't wake me up. But he got me in the car, and he took me to the hospital. And I remember just there at the hospital just crying and putting this stuff over my face to wake me up. And I remember I'm just crying, and I remember my husband having some negative things to say because his sister was there just telling him, this is real, this is real, this is not fake. She's not trying to get attention. Because at the time, he's always felt that my depression was about getting attention. And I was clinically depressed for over 5 years. Once trying to commit suicide, when you try to take your life, the saddest part is since I wasn't dealing with a rational, sane way of thinking, I had a 2-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 5-year-old. But the saddest part that even though my grandmother always taught me that suicide is not your life to take, so suicide is not the will of God. And if you commit suicide, you do not go to heaven. And even though I had this in the back of my mind that I wouldn't go to heaven, in my own sick, twisted perception, I thought that since I had made such a mess of my life, let me get out of these three girls' lives because they're not going to do anything but grow up and be a horrible woman just as I was, because I felt like I was such a failure, such a mess. That one thing you don't realize is that when you attempt suicide, when you try to take your own life, you have to go to a mental facility. You have to go to a mental place for 72 hours. And my 72 hours turned into 8 days of being in Lakeside Behavioral Hospital in Bartlett, Tennessee. And I remember it wound up being a wake-up call for me, but I came out of there still in a state of depression. And even from this being 2002, it's sad that I was in such a deep state that I saw myself as completely worthless. I had a can't attitude about everything. I can't stop the pain. I can't see a better future. I can't think clearly. I can't eat. I can't sleep. I can't get out. I felt stuck in the mess that I had made. But one thing I want to share about my depression and my attempt with suicide, and they tell you with suicide when you're talking about it, if somebody tell you they're thinking or talking about or wanting to commit suicide, never, ever, ever take that lightly. Because when you talk about it, the next step is taking the action to do it. And I thought about suicide day in and day out. The only way I would constantly think of how can I take my life without taking somebody else's life, because I would think of crazy things like running my car off a bridge or running into a train or just doing anything. I just wanted to die. I just wanted my pain to end. But then I realized that I would be jeopardizing somebody else's life. So the only way I could do it was to take a lot of pills. And that way I wouldn't be running my car off a bridge. I wouldn't be jeopardizing another family or causing hurt or harm to no one else. It was just hurting me because I'm the one that has ruined my life and let me move before I ruined my husband's and my three daughters' lives. But in those 8 days of Lakeside, it was a turnaround, and I didn't wind up just making an initial instant change, because it is one day at a time. But I'm here to share with you that no matter how you feel, no matter how much of an end it feels like, no matter how much of it'll never get better, this has to be the best it gets, I'll never have a better life, I'll never get a second chance, I've ruined everything, no matter how bad you think it is, it can get better, because change always happens. Nothing ever, I put emphasis on ever, nothing ever stays the same. And even though in my sickness, because I did have a sick mind, because when you're depressed, you are not dealing with the same mind. I did have a sick mind. But in my sick mind, I kept running to God. I kept praying. I kept asking him to help me, because I didn't know why I was sick. I didn't know what was wrong with me. I didn't know why I was so messed up. I thought that I was crazy. I thought that I was just a damaged human being, and I couldn't understand why I was the way that I was and why I wanted to just remove myself from so many people. I wound up learning later that suicide is such a selfish act. I didn't realize how many people that love me would hurt by me doing this. All I saw was this pain is I cannot escape this pain if I don't take my life. That was the only way I saw out. But that exit strategy, one thing I would like for you to really realize is that even though that situation is horrible, that crisis is temporary. But suicide is death, and that is permanent. And you have no do-overs after taking your life, after death. You have no do-overs. You have no trying again. You have no making better steps. You have no reaching out to others. There's nothing you have after death. But through that crisis, even though you're depressed or going through something difficult, through that crisis, you do have the opportunity to begin again, to start again, to get yourself back in school, get yourself back in church, get yourself back involved with the community. One thing I also want to share is that when you're clinically depressed, my counselor would always tell me, go out, get into the sunshine, because it increases your serotonin level, and to exercise. Because this exercise and the sunshine increases your serotonin level and your endorphins. And that is the chemical that makes you happy on this side. This is the brain chemical that creates happiness. Antidepressants, that is the man-made endorphin that increases your mood and helps you to feel happy. But when I tell you, God, what God can make is far greater than what man can make. And no antidepressant ever did for me what sunshine, exercise, and reaching to him did for me.
Right. Tika, thank you. What you just said about the kids, well, about sunshine, basically, people think about what we just told you not so long ago, well, in this conversation about the suicide rate for the young people. Think about how our young people, what do they do? They don't get sunshine. We stayed outside. Coming inside was a privilege. You came in to eat, use the bathroom, take a bath, and go to bed. You didn't hang around grown folks, listen to them talk. You were outside playing, and you better be playing right. And so to speak, our kids, we are spending $400 on games, another $60 on the actual game to play them with. Kids are not outside. I've heard grown people say, right here in my house, that they were bothered by kids being outside playing. And I drive home, and I love to see the kids, my neighbors next door, their kids across the street. I love to see them outside playing. I love to see them. They draw the hopscotch that we used to play. The little girl next door draws that, and they get outside and play. Well, you got grown people that get angry because they got to drive slow because the kids are out playing. That's insane. So our kids are not getting that. They're not getting home cooked meals. Food could be another reason. They're putting all this stuff in our food, and we're just letting the TV raise our children in the games. So God gave us those things that keep us from getting to the point where we are. And I'm not saying that's a fix-all, but I'm certainly saying that it may be something that we can try, or that your kids should be outside playing. Get out there. If you're worrying about somebody taking them, I used to get outside with Brandon. I used to be the quarterback for both teams because I wanted to be outside with him so that I could see him. We have to do what we have to do. And, again, I'm on for the kids because kids are my humanitarian thing. I am for the kids. So Tika spoke also about grandmothers. It's just, to me, how God plays things out. Tika and I talk so much about the loss of our grandmothers, although she lost her grandmother much later in life than I. But that was something I don't think my family realized how much that broke me. I still carry my grandmother's obituary in my purse, folded up. I can remember that day as if it was yesterday. And I some years ago, a family member lost someone very dear to them, and I remember walking in and thinking, looking at this person thinking, that's me. I felt like that was me all over again, and I found myself gravitating, you know, just like I didn't want her to go. I didn't want her to be who I was back then. I didn't want her to fall short of who she was and get lost in her pain. And I just saw it being me. So God, allow God to allow you to share what you've gone through and then share that with someone else. Give back, because in all that we do, we should do it to bring glory to God. And boy, does he deserve it. God can work some things out beyond what we ever could have imagined. One of the causes, and we've not talked about much of that, but, you know, losing a loved one. So you think about children losing loved ones, children losing those people who they've grown up with. You know, children are losing parents, grandparents, and so to speak. When that happens, grown people talk to these children. Let them get help, you know. I have an open door. I sometimes probably talk too much to kids, and Butterfly Evolution is getting ready, hopefully soon, to put together a program for children who have lost a parent or living without their parent. I know here in Memphis we just recently had and I believe the children were age 9 and 7, who in 1 week's time lost their father and their mother. Mother was battling cancer. Father was going to the mailbox to check the mail, and a drunk driver, is my understanding, ran up in the yard, killed father. Mom dies a few days later from cancer. Where does that leave these children? Their sense of being has been wiped away. So I just felt when Tika talked about grandmothers, and we talk so much about Mama Heat for her and Nanny B for me, you know, losing our grandmothers just broke us, just simply broke us down. So I just kind of wanted to get that out. And also, Tika, and I'm going to check real quick to just see, and you guys, the lines are open. I'm going to do a quick check. The lines are open. Tika mentioned about her personal, you know, I guess, you know, battle with depression, and so to speak. I remember Tika's day so well. I remember calling the night before. Tika was scheduled to go to church with me the day that took place. And I remember the night before calling a friend and a church member saying, I'm going to bring Tika to church tomorrow, and we need to help her because I feel like she's going to commit suicide. What should I have done? But if Tika's life would have been lost that night, I would have never gotten over it because I didn't do what I was supposed to do. I thought that she'd be okay until the next, and if I could get her to church, she would be okay is what I thought. But I should have took the church there. I should have called the people and said, let's go. Tomorrow is tonight. That's what I should have did. Now, looking at this now, God has taken lemons and made lemonade. Yes, it could have gone worse, but God had other plans. God's plans always prevails. So, but I should have. If at that moment, you know, we need to learn to do what we're supposed to, hear from God and do what we're supposed to do. But instead, I'm thinking, okay, we can fix this tomorrow. We can fix this at church tomorrow. I'm going to let everybody know we can fix this at church tomorrow. But Tika never got to go to church. So just wanted to get that out. If we don't have any callers, I'm going to do a quick check. I guess, Tika, we could go into some of the causes, and I know we've touched a little bit on it. Some other things we were going to talk about tonight are the causes, preventions, and treatments. Yeah, symptoms, treatments, and causes, and we've touched a little bit on it, but I'll take causes if you want, and maybe you can do some of the symptoms and treatments. But some of the causes, and we talked about food a little bit, just because Tika brought up about being outside, and it does. Exercise, being outside, walk outside, walk your street, learn who your neighbors are. Make it a mission to learn who your neighbors are. You know, walk in your backyard, sit outside in your backyard, read a book, turn the TV off. A friend mentioned to me this week or last week about food, that he thought, you know, food could play a part. They're putting so much food. Our young girls are blooming far before time in such a manner that is alarming to me. We have young girls as early as second grade. I've been around in Florida when I was working at a school, as early second grade, you know, getting her cycle, because, you know, being on a mission. Second grade, how do you deal with that? It has to be the food, things we didn't hear of. I think another thing is our personal relationship and fellowship with God. We've removed God out of so much. Tasha mentioned about credit. She worked for her credit. She worked for this good status. Well, God is showing some people that what you thought you had, people are without work. People are having to let things go that they've put before God, houses, homes, vacations, so to speak. You know, so God is showing himself, saying, okay, let me really, like Tasha said, let me really show you who is the creator. I am. And some people cannot deal with not having the big house for people to think, you know, whatever they want them to think, or not having the fancy cars. And there is nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying that, but when you replace those things, when they become your everything, and they become your desire, you know, your strife. That's what you desire to have, and for your motive. Miss Peggy always, you know, think about your motive when you're doing things. We have people living in mansions with just one or two people in a house. Give some of that back. Give some of it back. So those causes, again, I think a lot of it relationship with God. People are going to church, but they don't have true worship time, true fellowship, or relationship with God, that obedience with God. You know, knowing him as creator changes your life. If God lived next door to you, what are some of the things that you would do differently? How would you go outside and check your mailbox every day? Think about that. Exercise again, and just so many other things. Again, not one thing in particular works, but try them all. Okay, so some of the other causes, alcohol and drug abuse, medical conditions, sleeping problems. You know, a lot of people go through sleep apnea. A lot of people, when you can't sleep, that can cause depression as well, major depression, so to speak. Breaking up with a boyfriend or girlfriend, failing classes. Our young people, we put so much, we run them, we have them do this, we have them do that. Their fatigue, their stress. You have a lot of people working. I remember Brandon's principal told me that Brandon did not need to work. And that was because everybody else in society was telling me, oh, yes, he needs to work, he's this and that. But Brandon was taking the highest classes that he could take. He was working. He was in band. He was in honor band. He was in so many things. He was not sleeping. He had homework. He was tired. He was frustrated, tired, and everything else. And I remember his principal sat me down and said, why is he working? And I'm thinking, because I'm making a man out of him. And he said, you know, give him some things to do around the house. The money he's making, can you give that to him? So, again, it took someone to sit me down and say, I understand what you're doing, but look at what it's causing. So, failing classes. A lot of our kids get caught up trying to stay straight A's. Well, you might not have a straight A child. And if you don't, that's okay. Maybe he can fix cars. Maybe he can build houses. Or she. You know, find what they're good at. But you can't do that if you're not spending time with them. So you may have to go ask the television or the video game, what is my child good in? And that's a problem, because we should know. Divorce, Tika mentioned divorce. Kids go through divorce. And that, wow. We can't say enough about what happens. We did a show on divorce, but we ended up talking more about the kids during that show. But cannot say enough about that. Certainly another day and another topic. Childhood abuse, or neglect. And they said childhood abuse. And not that we brought up abuse in our life today as children, but there were things that, you know, for me, the loss of my grandma, you know, things that we just don't deal with or not able to deal with at such a young age. And social isolation was another one, and they find this common in elderly people. So get out and visit. For those of you who have grandparents, get out and visit or adopt a grandparent. We have a lot of senior citizens who are alone. I see them driving sometimes, and I wonder, wow, where is your family? Because you have no business driving, you know. So visit some people and share, again, share your life. And we wanted to talk about symptoms and treatments. Tika, you have anything on either of those?
I do. Also, I want to put emphasis on the fact that if you suspect someone close to you that's thinking about suicide, it's vitally important that you seek out, that you help them to seek outside professional help. In many cities, there are mental health organizations that offer services for little or no fees. I want to also reiterate that suicidal victims, because this stems from depression. Once you're depressed, happy people don't commit suicide. Depressed, sad, broken, people that see no end in sight, these are the people that commit suicide. The fact that suicide has no typical victim. They can be young, they can be old, they can be rich, they can be poor. But I had some signs I would like to look for. But the signs are they talk about committing suicide. So it's not one time that they will be just mentioning this. They'll mention it more than once. They have trouble eating or sleeping. People that are want to commit suicide, they don't have a desire to do any of these things. They experience drastic changes. They experience drastic changes in the behavior. Withdrawals from friends or social activities. You won't see them wanting to go out or do the things that they were normally used to doing. They have a loss in interest of their hobbies, work, or school. They prepare for death with their wills and wanting to make final arrangements for their preparation to die. They give away prized possessions. They've attempted suicide before, and if they have before, they'll usually do it 2 and 3 times until they initially succeed. And I see we have a caller that would like to come in, so go ahead and take the caller, Tammy.
Okay, thanks, Tika. Okay, we have a caller from the 865 area code, the last 41711. Caller, would you like to identify yourself tonight, or would you like to stay private?
I'd like to identify myself. Hey.
Well, great. How are you?
I'm good. How are you guys?
We're good.
Hello. Good, good. Sorry, I'm kind of, like, sick, but I got a call saying that the subject was on depressed and felt that I should share my story.
Well, thank you. Tell us who you are. I'm happy that you called in, and I was so praying for it, and so I'm just overexcited. So tell us who you are.
Stacy.
Okay, okay. And this is one of our college babies, and Stacy did a show, I think maybe the second show, kind of came on and shared a little bit. I don't think she went into much detail on some things that hopefully she's going to share tonight, but she's one of our college babies. So go ahead, Stacy, you have it.
Okay. So depression for college student is a very challenging. I know when I was young, I went through some situations where I felt at the time it was, I guess, okay for me to start thinking that I could take my life. I tried a couple attempts probably when I was like probably 16. I guess the things that I was going through really got to me and started changing the way I was acting towards my friends. Not more so my grades. It wasn't affecting my grades. But as I entered into college, you know, it was the boys and trying to get myself together with school. And this is before I really got into going to church and getting baptized and reading my Bible like daily. But I think it was what happened. I was, I think my sophomore year, I became super depressed. Do you remember that, Tammy? I don't know, like you.
Yes, we remember. And again, very ironic because Tika and I were on our way to a celebration for our homeless ministry. People were, we were getting together. And I don't know if Tika remembers that night, but she called as we were on our way to one of our church members' house. And so we got there, mm-hmm. and we just stopped and asked everybody to join hand and circle around and pray for Miss Stacy. So I remember that night. I'm sure you do as well.
Mm-hmm.
But we remember that night you called just out of your element, so to speak. So
yes.
You keep, but we do remember.
Yes. It was to the point that I was waking up every day, like looking out my window. It could be sunny, it could be raining, and I just sit there and I look at people walking around and just start crying for no reason. I don't understand why I was crying. I just knew something was wrong with me. And then I went to my college advisor, my college counselor, and I started talking to her, and I started to get into depth about what was going on. And I think it was the time me and my mom was starting to have issues and just like family, school, and boy problems adding on everything. I just literally became depressed. I seek therapy. My therapist was talking to me about stuff. Like, it wasn't to the point where I needed medicine, but I know that I was thinking, you know, life would be so much easier if I wasn't on Earth. Life would be so much easier if I didn't, like, wake up and just cry, bawl, and just wonder, why am I going through this? Like, I don't know why. I just feel sad. I walk around sad, and that's not me. Like, I'm a happy-go person, and I love to talk to people, but at the time, I secluded myself, and I stayed in my room all the time, and all my friends would come out and be like, oh, you want to go somewhere? I'm like, no, I'd rather stay where I'm at. And I don't know if it was because I started missing my friends who were back in Knoxville, but I made that transition and I was okay. But lately, I don't know what's been going on. I've had 3 cars literally break down on me within the beginning of my semester, and It started to take a toll on me. It's affecting my grades. I had to make decisions on, like, how am I going to get here or how am I going to get there? And I'm sitting here like, God, like, why are you putting me, like, I'm not saying you're putting me in a situation. I mean, I know there's something that you want me to learn. Why am I in Knoxville with 3 cars that are not working, and I'm sitting here stressed out, wondering about my school? I have exams that I need to take and don't know if I'm going to be able to even make it to them. And I know this is crazy for me to even say, but it was last week I said to myself, I was like, I don't want to live. I don't know why I said I don't want to live, because like me getting closer to God, you know, it's a beautiful thing, but for some odd reason, I felt like I didn't want to live. Like, things would be so much easier right now. Like, I know it's stupid me saying transportation, but transportation is, like, a big thing for me right now. A college student trying to maintain her grades, go to work, support herself, basically living the adult life as a college student. I mean, yeah. But then I had to snap myself out of it. And I'm like, dude, God is a good God, and he will allow me to make it through this, because I've been through so much in my life that this is like something minor, but to me right now, trying to like succeed, it was very hard, and I snapped out of it. And I have a favorite book, and it's called a favorite movie, The Book of Eli. And I love that the quote that he says, I fought the fight, and I've kept my faith. I can't remember exact words, but that's something I live by, because as a young woman and the things that I've been through in my life, this is just minor, and I don't need to feel like I'm depressed when I know if I could just pick up my Bible and read a verse or just to God and just be like, you know, just be closer to me because I really feel like I need you right now. And I know he will. It just needs to take some time. And that's what I'm going through right now. But I know depressed, it's a big issue with a lot of college students. I mean, your grades are not doing good. Of course, you know, your parents are going to stress out about it. And you're going to stress out about it because you feel like you ultimately can't succeed. But I know through everything I'm going through, there is going to be a brighter day. It's just I have to be patient enough and wait and just pray that God will allow me to get through this.
Well, Stacey, thank you for sharing. And just real quick, we're about to run out of time, but I wanted to – are you there, Stacey?
Yes, ma'am.
I wanted to share something with you. And for those of you who listen again, the way God works, I was sharing with my cable guy, who I found out also is a mechanic person, and we were talking about doing some things together because he works with young men as well. And so he volunteered, said, let's go down and I'll fix her car, no charge. And I've not had a chance to talk to Stacey about that. But, you know, that's what we should be doing, reaching out, especially to our young people. They are our future, and they are struggling just trying to buy books. And not every family, mothers and fathers, is able to buy books and send their kids to school. We got kids who don't go to school because they can't afford the application fee to apply for school. Buying $400 games, people, and letting our children stay inside. I mean, we're not on target. We're not on target. But, Stacey, we'll talk to you more about that, Speak and I, after the show maybe, but and just try to hear where you are in your car situation, because with trying to go to school, work, a young lady, she's getting off late at night, she's there by herself. So, again, we should have resources to where we can pull together, and that's what Butterfly Evolution is working on behind the scenes. We're working on a number of things that we want to be able to help people that are really dying to live and that are trying to help themselves. We should not be losing. We have kids dropping out of school because they cannot afford to stay there because they've made it so expensive to go to school. So thank you, and you know that you have lifelines, Stacey, and you share it with other students there around you. They can call us anytime, and we've given out some numbers to you all as well. But like Tika said, the crisis is temporary. The suicide is so permanent. Okay, so thank you for sharing.
You're welcome.
And continue to do what you're doing, and God is there, okay?
Thanks. I love you guys.
You.
I love you too, Stacey.
Bye.
We're down to the last. Thank you, Stacey. We're down to the
last few minutes.
And I don't see any more callers, so Tika, if you want to go ahead and close it out, that's wonderful.
I do. I would like to also mention that with that being my first battle with, you know, my depression battle and battle with suicide, you know, with my grandmother dying in 1999 and moving to Tennessee in 1999, I had a second battle with suicide in 2006. 2006, I began going through the stages of my divorce. And I was at a time to where this was, again, my second most lowest point in time of my life, because this was me facing my biggest fear. And my biggest fear was being a single mother, but this I thought for sure would destroy me. And so I had first initially left Tennessee and came out to Texas, where my family had moved, the Dallas, Texas area. And just coming out for a few months, staying out with my family, I was in a state of devastation. When I received my divorce papers, because he had filed for divorce because I left, when I received that, my plan, nobody knew what my plan was, but I knew that I couldn't survive this. I knew that this was going to destroy me. So before any other thing had the chance to take me, I was going to take my life. So that was me saying again, I'm going to leave. And so nobody knew that my plan was to take my girls back to him, because I knew I couldn't make it as a single mother. That was just I'd been afraid of facing something like that, and I told myself at the age of 10, I'd never be a single mother. So my plan was to bring the girls back to him. After I dropped them off with him and knew that they were safe, my plan was to go and just, I didn't have a plan of how I was going to do it, but I knew for sure that I was going to take my life. That was, I couldn't survive this no longer. And so what I did was I got home, and even though I didn't know that I was going to be plugged into TBN, I constantly looked at TBN, and I stayed on that network. And that began to renew me in realizing that I could and possibly would have a second chance. One thing that has made a difference was me getting involved with serving others through my local church. And I can honestly tell you that has been the thing that has set me free from every stronghold I could possibly have, because I dove in to thinking about somebody else, and it removed me from thinking about woe is me and my problems. So if I could just let you know that no matter what you're going through, you're not the only one, and a lot of times we feel like it's only me and nobody else is experiencing life the way I am. But no matter what, if you could take the time out, find some kind of time to involve yourself and immerse yourself into somebody else's life, I promise you it will turn your life around, because it has truly turned my life around. And I want to end it with a scripture, because more than anything, I know I didn't do better or get better on my own. I got better because of Christ. And Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. Even when you think that you can't pick yourself up, of course you can't pick yourself up, but Christ can pick you up. Of course you can't get yourself up off the ground, but God can get you up off the ground. Of course you feel like, I can't go anymore, I can't take this anymore, but you're really stronger than what you think you are. You have more in you and more power than you think you're capable of having, because your power and your strength comes from God. So keep in mind, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And what will free you, what will set you free of clinical depression and suicidal thoughts? Serve others. And if you don't know how to serve others, you can become my friend on Facebook. We will find a way to connect where you can even call me personally. But I can tell you the steps and the stages I took in serving others. Me and Tammy began serving the homeless every Thursday through the church, and it was a lifesaver for me. And if this was a lifesaver for me, I was in a dark, dark place. I can't even stress how dark of a place I was in. But this saved my life, because it took my focus off of Tika, and my focus was on somebody else, and I realized that these people were going through some things, and I had a roof over my head. I had food to eat every night. I was surrounded by the love of my children, and it made me I was able to evaluate truly what I was blessed with having. And so if I can just, like I said, close with that scripture, and I want to thank you all again for joining us again on a Monday night with Butterfly Evolution, praying and asking that you all have a safe week and to join us here again at 5:00 again next Monday at 8 p.m. Thank you. God bless, and good night.
Thanks to everyone. Awesome show. Thank you for tuning in. Good night.